Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, July 26, 2019. Coming up this hour,
Amazon shares fall on a disappointing profit forecast.
Alphabet, Intel, and Starbucks shares rally after their earnings reports.
U.S. economic growth is forecast to be the slowest in 2 years.
The EU rejects Boris Johnson's demands for a better Brexit deal.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told Bloomberg that nuclear talks with North Korea could start in a couple of weeks. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschke. Coming up in sports, the Yankees are blasted in Boston. Jacob deGrom weaves a shutout, and the Jets sign their top draft pick.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up about 7 points. Dow futures up 45. NASDAQ futures up 25. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 0.32%. Yield 2.07%. Yield on the 2-year 1.86%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 29 cents at $56.31 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $2.70 to $14.3020 an ounce. The euro 1.1136 against the dollar. The yen 108. 0.67. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with reaction to a flurry of high-tech earnings. Shares of Amazon are down 1.6%. The online retailer projected operating income that fell short of analyst estimates. We get the details from Emily Chang in the Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
While consumers have celebrated Amazon's plan for one-day deliveries, the cost to make them happen is causing growing concern for investors. In its latest earnings report, operating income for the current quarter missed estimates, indicating CEO Jeff Bezos has grand plans to keep spending the winnings from Prime Day sales and other gains and continue revenue growth. It comes as the e-commerce giant tries to maintain its fast shipping advantage over rivals Walmart and Target. But it's not just online sales bolstering Amazon's fortunes. Cloud computing, logistics for online merchants, and advertising are growing faster and now generate almost half the company's quarterly revenue. In San Francisco, I'm Emily Chang, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Emily, thank you. On the flip side, Amazon shares up more than 8%. The Google parent reported revenue that beat Wall Street estimates. We get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
The report calmed concern about slowing growth at the heart of the largest digital advertising company. The Google parent also announced a plan to repurchase $25 billion of the company's Class C stock. Second quarter sales, excluding payments to partners, came in at $31.71 billion. Analysts were looking for $30.84 billion, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. Google's ad sales grew 16% overall. That was slower than recent years, but it was a welcome relief from the first quarter of 2019 when Google missed revenue expectations and saw its shares plunge. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thanks. Shares of Intel are up more than 5%. The chipmaker posted second quarter sales and profit that topped analyst projections. It also gave an upbeat third quarter forecast.
Starbucks shares trading at a record this morning. They're up 6%. The coffee chain logged its fastest global sales growth in 3 years. China was partially behind the boost, but so was the U.S., where comparable store sales soared 7%.
Later this morning, we get a key reading on the U.S. economy. Economists forecast GDP rose 1.8% at an annual pace. As Bloomberg's Michael McKee reports, that would be the weakest in 2 years.
The GDP numbers are expected to be grim, but they aren't likely to make much difference to Federal Reserve policymakers. Weakening growth is the reason they're widely expected to cut interest rates next week. Still, the details of the report will help frame the Fed's thinking on the state of the U.S. economy and how much help it needs. If consumer spending is as strong as forecast and business investment is constrained by trade uncertainty, multiple rate cuts may not be as necessary. In New York, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. In Europe, the European Union has immediately rejected UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson's demands for a better Brexit deal. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Roger Hearing in London. Roger, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. It can't have been an easy conversation when European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker called Boris Johnson late Thursday. The new British Prime Minister told him the UK's withdrawal agreement from the EU needed to change. Specifically, the Irish backstop had to go. Jean-Claude Juncker said it was the best and only deal possible. In other words, a flat no. They exchanged cell phone numbers, but with this level of standoff, it's hard to see what room there is for further discussion right now. Reporting live in London, I'm Roger Hearing, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Roger, thank you. Meantime, we may be one step closer to a big deal in the wireless industry. Details on that live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Well, Nathan, it's been more than a year in the making. Sources tell us T-Mobile is set to win U.S. antitrust approval for its takeover of Sprint. As part of the deal, the Justice Department's antitrust division will require the companies to sell assets to Dish Network to preserve competition in the industry. The companies are still fighting a lawsuit by a group of state attorneys general. The $26.5 billion deal uniting the number three and number four wireless carriers is meant to help them compete with market leaders Verizon and AT&T. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. It's official. Apple's buying Intel's struggling cellular modem unit for about $1 billion. The deal will help Apple develop crucial components to connect its devices to the mobile internet.
And Bloomberg News has learned the Chinese government has approved several domestic companies to buy U.S. cotton, corn, sorghum, and pork without being subject to hefty retaliatory tariffs. Sources say some textile mills have been given permission to purchase a total of 50,000 tons of U.S. cotton without paying the 25% retaliatory duty. And there could be a second round of exemptions depending on how trade talks progress.
And Turkey's President Erdogan says Turkey may have to think on its Boeing orders. That headline just crossing the Bloomberg, and we'll be watching Boeing shares in early trading. S&P futures, meanwhile, moving higher, up 6 points. Dow futures up 44, NASDAQ futures up 23. The 10-year Treasury up 2/32, the yield 2.07%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.86%. NYMEX crude oil on the rise up 0.5% or 26 cents at $56.28 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.25%, up $3.30 to $14.3080 an ounce. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%, and so is the CAC in Paris. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you very much. It's 5:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good Friday morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Pyongyang says North Korea's test of a new missile is meant as a solemn warning over rival South Korea's weapons development and plans to hold military drills with the United States. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo played down Thursday's launches and said in an interview with Bloomberg that nuclear talks with North Korea could start in a couple of weeks. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the story.
Pompeo essentially says never mind that North Korea just launched two new short-range missiles early yesterday. He suggested in an interview with Bloomberg's Kevin Cirilli that Kim Jong-un conducted the launch as more a negotiating tactic, and it would not lead President Trump to end his commitment to the talks.
Look, everybody tries to get ready for negotiations and create leverage and create risk for the other side.
The Secretary of State said the U.S. remains convinced a negotiated solution is possible.
We want diplomacy to work.
The missiles were fired soon after U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton ended a visit to South Korea. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A disturbing development in the federal investigations into migrant smuggling at the U.S.-Mexico border. 16 U.S. Marines were taken into custody at Camp Pendleton in California. The lower-ranking enlisted men are accused of transporting undocumented migrants for financial gain. The House passed a 2-year budget deal that lifts the debt ceiling and boosts government spending by $320 billion. President Trump added his voice to the chorus of people upset about video showing New York police officers getting drenched with buckets of water during a heat wave. The president voiced his concerns on Fox's Sean Hannity show.
I know New York's finest, and New York's finest, in fact, we were in touch with them today. They are devastated that, frankly, that could happen, and also that those two officers would allow that to happen. That was a terrible thing.
At least three people have been arrested on charges, including disorderly conduct. The heat wave in Europe is setting daily records. All across Europe, millions are baking in a heat wave that will make this July the hottest month on record across the Atlantic. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Yankees had the tables turned offensively as they opened a four-game set in Boston.
Bogaerts hits a hanger high and deep to left, and that one's gone. Over the monster seats and hit one of the signs out there. That would have been on the lands down street. Second homer of the night for Bogaerts.
Red Sox radio record-setting performance for the Red Sox in a 19-3 rout. Boston with a knockout blow in the first inning when they played at 7. Yankee skipper Aaron Boone on starter Masahiro Tanaka's troubles.
I thought just a lot of mistakes in the heart of the plate. You know, didn't really have a split, and his fastball slider combination that's been so good for him wasn't as crisp. And after the first inning, he settled in, looked like he had a chance to get it going a little bit and get through the middle innings. But we'll just have to look and see what was going on there.
Tanaka allowed a dozen runs in 3 1/3. Tonight is James Paxton opposite Andrew Cashner. Off the field news, former All-Star and Yankee shortstop Troy Tulowitzki calls it a career after injuries cut his days in New York short. Tulo played in just 5 games this season. Mets saw the dominance of Jacob deGrom on the field and backed him up with run support in a 4-0 shutout of San Diego in a rubber match at Citi Field. Mets scored all 4 in the first inning. DeGrom did the rest. Homestand continues tonight against the Pirates. Zach Wheeler gets the ball for New York. In NFL camps, the last domino has fallen as Jets sign offensive lineman Quinnen Williams, the number 3 pick overall, to his rookie contract. He'll report to work immediately. He was the final first-round pick to sign. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. And join us tonight on the Bloomberg Business of Sports show when we speak with a former video game executive who now runs one of global soccer's biggest brands, Liverpool Football Club CEO Peter Moore. Joins the program to talk about how the Reds make all that green. That's the Bloomberg Business of Sports tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 on Bloomberg Radio. You can listen anytime to Bloomberg's Business of Sports wherever you get your podcasts. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com. to learn more.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Asian stocks tracked mostly lower today ahead of the U.S. GDP report and a big week that includes a Federal Reserve rate decision and the resumption of U.S.-China trade talks. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has more from Singapore.
Good morning, Karen. The Nikkei 225 closed 0.5% lower in Tokyo, while stocks were also lower in Sydney, Seoul, Taiwan, and Hong Kong. But there was some late-stage buying in mainland Chinese equities, which saw the CSI 300 close higher by 0.2% ahead of Monday's trade talks. In corporate news, SoftBank Group closed higher in Tokyo after founder Masayoshi Son unveiled a second vision fund, which aims to raise a total of $108 billion. Over the course of the week, Asian stocks posted a drop of around 0.5%. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. And futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 7 points, Dow futures up 54, NASDAQ futures up 27. The DAX in Germany's up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.07%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.85%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 31 cents at $56.33 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25% or $3.50 to $14.31 an ounce. The euro, 1.1140 against the dollar. The yen, 108.68. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told Bloomberg that nuclear talks with North Korea could start in a couple of weeks. It comes as North Korea says the test launch of a new tactical missile is meant as a warning to South Korean, quote, warmongers over Seoul's planned military exercises with the U.S. After 16 years without an execution, the federal death penalty in America is set to be reinstated. The executions of 5 federal inmates have been ordered to go forward in December. In baseball, the Red Sox, put a what for and why whipping on the Yankees 19-3. The Mets won after 16 innings. The Orioles beat the Angels 10-8. The Nationals and A's lost. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Tom Porcelli joins us now. He's chief U.S. economist at RBC Capital Markets as we await the first read on second quarter GDP due out in just a little more than 3 hours' time. Tom, good morning. We've heard a number of signs of a slowdown in the business side. How can we see that play out in the GDP print this morning?
Yeah, in fact, we think people that are looking for a slowdown on the business side are probably going to be disappointed. You know, we're looking for probably about close to 5% CapEx in the quarter, which, you know, again, would sort of defy some expectations in that regard. And look, we get it. There's obviously stress out there that you know, people are responding to from a sentiment perspective. We obviously saw that show up to some extent in ISM, which slipped toward 50, but never quite got there. But, you know, despite that, you know, you're going to put in a pretty solid quarter. And again, you know, narratives are sort of, you know, can sometimes be easy to pick up on, right? If you look at Q1 CapEx slipped, you know, slipped into negative territory. And then, you know, you sort of add on to that this negative sentiment idea that we were just talking about. And I think it creates sort of a low hurdle to build a narrative around, oh, you know, business looks really poor right now. But again, all evidence to the contrary. And I would just make one last point on that. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think about that last ISM report that did slip toward 50, but again, just got to 52 in round numbers, you know, we were at peak worry about China, even about Mexico. I mean, just goes to show you how old that last ISM report was in terms of capturing sort of, you know, the headlines at the moment. I mean, they were still worried about Mexico. We hadn't even resolved Mexico yet. So, you know, at peak worry, you got to 52. You know, so fast forward to today, you know, we're obviously have some positive momentum after G20. Mexico is obviously has since been resolved. So we would look for ISM to actually bounce back when that's reported in the next week or so. And again, hopefully put to ease any of this worry that is sort of the business space is in imminent collapse.
So do you see then a sort of a bifurcation between where the U.S. is going in terms of business investment and the rest of the world?
Yeah, there's no question. You know, we have this we have something called a heat map of global PMIs, and it's a sea of red. You know, and so sorry, let me digress. The heat map, as you might expect, is coded in different colors, right? So if a country is coded in red, then it is slipping. Its ISM or PMI is slipping. Green is expanding. Yellow is neutral. And most of the PMIs are in contraction territory outside of the United States. So look, and that's the thing that the Fed is responding to. You know, when you think about sort of, you know, why the Fed is cutting rates, and again, I've said this on Bloomberg many times. I mean, we do not believe that the Fed should be cutting rates right now, although we obviously recognize that they will. But, you know, the thing that the Fed is responding to is what's happening outside of our borders. And I think that heat map is probably a very clean way of capturing the essence of what they're worried about. So, yeah, there's no question that there's stress. And even if you look into Europe, you know, it doesn't seem like Europe is even stabilizing yet from a PMI perspective. So, yeah, there's definitely a bifurcation. That's an unavoidable reality.
So in our last 30 seconds or so here, if business investment is going to pick up, as you think, I mean, what's the case then for the Fed?
That's not how I would characterize it. I would say it's going to pick up. Business investment. What I would say is business investment is sort of humming along here at around again for this current quarter around a 5% pace. There will be we don't necessarily think it's going to accelerate from here. Well, what I'm saying is if it is true that the last ISM was really a reflection of what was happening in China, worries about what was happening in China, which, again, if you look at the respondent comments, that's exactly what people were worried about. And if we do have resolution, or not resolution, but if we have made a sort of a positive step in the right direction post the G20 meeting, then that sort of would lend itself to conclude that we are probably going to see some stabilization in ISM. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, at this stage, that's a victory.
All right. Tom Porcelli, RBC Capital Markets Chief U.S. Economist. Thanks again for being with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Ahead of the release of second quarter GDP, it's due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. We will have full coverage here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures up 7 points right now. Dow futures up 55 points. NASDAQ futures ahead by 27 points. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good Friday morning. Daybreak's brought to you by the new Range Rover Evoque. It was designed to open your eyes to the possibilities of what's right in your own neighborhood. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Range Rover Evoque. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher this morning amid a flurry of earnings as we close out the trading week. Shares of Alphabet are up 8%. The Google parent exceeded revenue estimates in its latest quarterly report.
While shares of Amazon are down 1.5%, the online retailer posted lower than forecast earnings. We get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The report worried investors that it is returning to a big spending cycle to fuel faster deliveries in the face of greater competition. The Seattle-based e-commerce company also said operating income in the current quarter will be $2.1 billion to $3.1 billion, well shy of analyst estimates of $4.34 billion. Amazon says it will spend $800 million in the second quarter to move to one-day delivery for its best customers. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. Shares of Intel up 5%. The chipmaker posted second quarter sales and profit that topped analyst projections.
Starbucks shares are higher by 6.5%. The coffee chain logged its fastest global sales growth in 3 years.
Twitter, among more than a dozen companies in the S&P 500, reporting earnings today. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
A majority of the analysts covering the short messaging service have hold ratings, in effect. Bloomberg Intelligence says Twitter must show consistent growth in monetizable daily users for a few more quarters in order to bolster confidence in its turnaround. The company's average revenue per user is roughly two-thirds that of Facebook. Forecasts are for Twitter to post an adjusted profit of 19 cents a share on revenue topping $829 million. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. We also get earnings from McDonald's this morning.
Economists forecast GDP moderated in the second quarter, expanding at the weakest pace in 2 years at a 1.8% annual rate. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
The fallout from the White House trade war probably squelched U.S. economic growth. Today's GDP report will probably show net exports and inventories took a substantial bite in the second quarter. Business investment is seen sputtering, too. Tariffs act as a tax on your own people, not your opponent, former Fed Chair Alan Greenspan told Bloomberg this week. Even so, consumers probably kept the quarter from looking even worse with a rebound in household spending. During the first quarter, GDP topped 3%. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. And S&P futures are up 9 points this morning. Dow futures up 73 and NASDAQ futures are up 33. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street. And Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the U.S. still wants talks with North Korea despite the missile launches. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
This comes after South Korea has identified the two launches as a new kind of short-range ballistic missile, and the North State media says it is a warning to the warmongers in South Korea as military exercises approach. Pompeo, one-on-one with Bloomberg's Kevin Cirilli, says the goal is the same.
We want Chairman Kim to deliver on the promise that he made to President Trump, which is that he would denuclearize. I was there the day they signed the document. I've had Chairman Kim tell me this personally no less than half a dozen times.
Pompeo calling the launches more a Kim negotiating tactic than anything else. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Justice Department says that it will begin executing federal death row inmates for the first time since 2003. Attorney General William Barr instructed the Bureau of Prisons to schedule executions starting in December for five men, all accused of murdering children. California Governor Gavin Newsom says he disagrees with the move.
Well, I value life, and I don't think we have the right to take the life of another human being. And I think it rather perverse. I have four young kids to tell my 9-year-old daughter that we're going to kill someone to teach you that it's wrong to kill. It's rather a perverse message.
Although the death penalty remains legal in 30 states, executions on the federal level are rare. Just one day after Special Counsel Robert Mueller issued a stark warning about Russia interfering in our elections, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell stopped Democrat-sponsored election security bills from coming to a vote.
It's just a highly partisan bill from the same folks who spent 2 years hyping up a conspiracy theory about President Trump and Russia.
Legislators are still trying to come to grips with sourcing political ads on social media. The House passed a 2-year debt ceiling extension and budget bill Thursday in a bipartisan deal backed by President Trump that will lessen the chance of a shutdown this fall and put any risk of a U.S. government default off until after the 2020 election. The measure would allow a $324 billion increase in discretionary spending over 2 years over existing budget caps. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Yankees, known for bringing the sticks, got clubbed early and often in Boston, pounded 19-3 to open a 4-game set with the Red Sox. Masahiro Tanaka was rocked, allowing a dozen runs, including 7 in the first inning. Andrew Cashner hosts James Paxton tonight. Yankees lead is 9.5 over Tampa Bay, who was idle on Thursday. Yankees also see a career cut short to injuries as All-Star shortstop Troy Tulowitzki hangs them up. Tulo just couldn't stay healthy on the field. Could the former Rocky and Blue Jay? He played in just 5 games this season for New York. Jacob deGrom looked like last year's Cy Young winner as he spun 7 shutout innings of San Diego in a 4-0 drubbing at Citi Field to take the series 2-1. New York scored all 4 in the first inning. Manager Mickey Callaway.
He's our leader. He's our ace. He sets the tone. He has for a long time in this organization now. He's going to be here for a lot longer doing the same thing. So he means the world to us, and that's why we wanted him here as long as possible.
Homestand continues tonight with Pittsburgh paying a visit. Zach Wheeler looks to keep the momentum alive where the Mets are 5 games above 500 at home. In NFL camps, Le'Veon Bell has spoken as the Jets running back answered questions if he'll look like the former All-Pro during his days in Pittsburgh.
I expect to be better. I don't want to just say I'm going to be how I was 2 years ago. Each and every year I feel like I want to be a better player, I'm confident. I feel like I'm healthy. I'm just ready to go out there and just perform.
Bell missed last season. Jets also signed number 3 pick Quinnen Williams, who will report today. He's the last first-rounder to report to camp. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Now, Rob, Brooklyn Dodgers coaching uniform worn by baseball icon Babe Ruth could fetch $500,000 at a Julian's auction. The Sultan of SWAT wore that uniform during the 1938 season. It is the centerpiece of a 350-piece private collection to be sold in November in Beverly Hills and online. Ruth New York Yankees Road jersey dating from 1928 to 1930 recently sold at auction for $5.6 million. Coming up to 5:38 on Wall Street, the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on Elizabeth Warren's radical plan to beat President Trump at his own game. Josh Green wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Her theory all along has been that, the U.S. economy has essentially been captured and corrupted by big business, by Wall Street, now by the Trump administration and Republicans. And the only thing that's going to get Democrats elected is not the kind of a milquetoast incrementalism of an Obama or a Clinton, but big, bold, radical change. That's what she's introduced to the Democratic debate.
Read more about this and other stories in Bloomberg Business Week. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Curry. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. New York City Council has passed legislation this week requiring the government to track metrics for commercial properties, including vacancies. They're trying to create a more comprehensive data set to monitor the health of the city's small businesses. Mayor Bill de Blasio wants to install 80 miles of protected bicycle lanes citywide by the end of 2021. He's trying to renew his Vision Zero program that seeks to end fatal traffic accidents. And Southwest Airlines is shutting down operations at Newark Liberty International. It blames problems surrounding Boeing's 737 MAX jet. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Curry. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WoWo in Fort Wayne. The U.S. unveiled $16 billion more in federal aid for agriculture.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we are looking at how Barbie and cost cuts are improving results at Mattel.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WCCO in Minneapolis, mattress stocks may bounce higher after Twin Cities-based Sleep Number's latest results beat estimates.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the political clouds gathering for BT Group, as Prime Minister Boris Johnson brings in critics of the former monopoly.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds of New York. I'm talking about Barney's New York, putting together plans for a possible imminent bankruptcy.
I'm Joan Doniger, telling Kogo listeners in San Diego that maybe all those trips to Petco helped boost Nestle sales this year, thanks to Purina.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. The morning pointing to gains ahead of the open on Wall Street. S&P futures are 9 points higher right now. Dow futures ahead by 77 points and NASDAQ futures up 34 and a half. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Tune into the weekend edition of Bloomberg Daybreak, where we set you up for the week ahead on Wall Street. You can hear it tomorrow morning at 5, again at 4 in the afternoon, and Sunday mornings at 9, every weekend on Bloomberg Radio.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are inching higher with U.S. stock index futures as investors weigh the latest batch of corporate earnings and look ahead to next week's Federal Reserve interest rate decision. Treasuries are moving higher as well. The dollar is steady ahead of U.S. economic growth data due later today. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 10 points, Dow futures up 79, NASDAQ futures up 35, the DAX in Germany is up a third of a percent. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.06%, yield on the 2-year 1.85%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 32 cents at $56.34 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25% or $3.50 to $14.31 an ounce. The euro 1.1147 against the dollar. The British pound 1.2442 and the yen 108.62. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The missiles that were fired from North Korea in recent days were meant to send a message to South Korea. That's according to official news reports from Pyongyang. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo played down the launches. In an interview with Bloomberg, Pompeo says that working-level talks with North Korea could start in a couple of weeks. More than 5,000 pounds of supplies are now on its way to the International Space Station. A SpaceX Dragon capsule lifted off yesterday from Cape Canaveral, Florida. In baseball, the Red Sox broke out the big bats and walloped the Yankees 19-3. The Mets won. After 16 innings, the Orioles beat the Angels 10-8. The Nationals and A's lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our global platform for fast commentary on breaking news. Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan joins us from our London bureau. And we begin this morning, Jen, with an interesting take from Satyajit Das on the buildup of global debt since the financial crisis. Das is saying that it's sustainable.
It is. I mean, there's obviously a hitch here, and the buildup of debt has, of course, been a big worry for quite a lot of people. Das has a point. Yes, this can be sustained, but only at the risk of a more severe correction in the future. And that's because this particular credit cycle really isn't a particular one. What's been driving it? It's been the actions of policymakers. Governments and central banks have been actively encouraging debt-driven consumption and investment, and that's been propping up growth. Das says such policies really fundamentally alter the dynamics of the credit markets. And the worry here is that emerging signs of debt distress, such as a weakened ability to service this debt, might be less worrying than otherwise.
So how is that sustainable then? I mean, there have to be alarm bells ringing now, aren't there?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's a shift in credit markets that he says has really not been appreciated properly. Since 2008, banks have actually become less important as providers of debt. They've been replaced by investors, and this just isn't, you know, the traditional suspects, insurance companies and pension funds. We're also looking at mutual funds, ETFs, hedge funds, the likes of those. Das says this increased participation of investors in debt market really threatens to worsen any downturn. These investors typically have little or no capital to cushion losses, and losses will immediately pass through to the ultimate investors, and this is going to accelerate the impact of any deterioration in credit conditions.
So then does that mean that the steps regulators have taken to strengthen the banking system just don't apply at this point?
It's interesting to look at this because there's a perspective from which they're kind of like generals fighting the last war. I mean, the problem you've got is that in any future credit downturn, the brakes that banks can apply is going to have a lot less impact than before. And this is going to juice volatility and intensify any developing financial crisis. I mean, sure, regulators can step in to ease the sting for suffering investors. But the idea of doing something like mandating minimum capital reserves is just going to create another dilemma. The issue really here is that risk never disappears. It just moves to the least regulated corner it can find.
Interesting. Well, let's move on from debt to venture capital. Tim Culpin is writing about the latest big player in that space. We're talking about SoftBank's Vision Fund 2. Finally here, $108 billion checkbook. What does Culpin make of it?
Well, Culpin says that Masayoshi Son, the master of this checkbook, is going to have to search a lot farther and wider for recipients of these checks than he did with the Vision Fund 1. Because, you know, you look around the world, there really aren't too many Ubers or Didis or Grabs left to, you know, dispense this largesse. So the team is going to have to scour the globe and invest a lot earlier to deploy that money rather than jumping on big names that have already reached the much wanted unicorn status. Instead, there's going to be a lot more mid-stage investing in VC parlance that's around Series B and C.
So what are the risks then?
I mean, there's going to be always substantial risk from investing earlier. But then again, the potential returns are going to be a little bit higher. Here's the risk that Culpin sees in this, though, is that if SoftBank is getting it a little bit earlier, he reckons that they're going to be a lot more likely to give another round of financing where another VC firm might have said, no, I don't think that this business model is going to work. And the risk here is that this creates this unhealthy development where businesses that just weren't meant to be last a little longer than they ought.
So where could these funds be headed geographically?
Well, Culpin expects a lot of this to go to India rather than China, as well as Latin America and Eastern Europe. And, you know, there's no reason to rule out the idea that there could be a newly minted African unicorn with SoftBank banking. And Culpin says this is a great thing for the global startup economy because there's surely plenty of promising businesses in hitherto unseen corners of the world. And what this means for Masayoshi Son is that he's going to have to start recruiting locally and in larger numbers. Overall, what this means is there's a $180 billion checkbook floating around the world. The next stage of a startup could be just enough incentive to take a punt on a new business.
Bloomberg Opinion Editor Jennifer Ryan, thank you as always joining us from London. And you can read more of these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. Bloomberg Terminal customers type OPIN Go on the search bar. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by the American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute resolved faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The Environmental Protection Agency is getting close to a proposal on whether to tighten toxic air pollution limits for iron and steel manufacturers. A group of e-commerce and tech associations is backing Amazon in a liability case. The groups want the full Third Circuit to decide on whether Amazon can be held liable for a defective dog collar despite a law protecting online speech. And Sony's PlayStation video game streaming services are facing a court complaint that they infringe on patents once owned by graphics chipmaker 3D Labs.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Steve, thank you. Now other legal news we're watching this morning. Texas will not have to get federal approval before making changes to its voter maps. This despite finding that Texas had engaged in racial gerrymandering thanks to an appeals court decision. Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Columbia Law School professor Richard Berfall for more on the story.
Rich, Texas was at risk of being the first state pushed back under federal electoral oversight. It's a process known as preclearance. Will you start us off by explaining just what preclearance means?
Sure. Preclearance is the idea that before a jurisdiction like a state or a city or a county can change its election laws, it has to get a prior approval either from the Department of Justice in Washington or from a federal district court. And the idea is that there are some jurisdictions, because of their past records of discrimination, that are sufficiently problematic that instead of going through the normal process of a jurisdiction passing a law and then it getting challenged and the burden being on the challenger to show it's discriminatory, this reverses that. This requires prior approval, pre-clearance by government agency before the law could go into effect.
So in the opinion at the Fifth Circuit, Judge Javier Rodriguez said the court has grave concerns about Texas's past conduct, and he cited things like the recent enactment of a voter ID rule, a recent voter purge attempt. So why didn't the court put Texas under federal oversight then?
Well, the court basically said that this is an extraordinary remedy. And although Texas has done some bad stuff, has been found to engage in discriminatory behavior in its redistricting in 2011, there were some allegations that some courts supported of some discriminatory behavior in its voter ID law. It wasn't enough. As the court pointed out, there was a federal statute that put certain jurisdictions under preclearance for all purposes, all voting law change purposes. The Supreme Court, in a case called Shelby County a few years ago, said that went too far, that there's not enough, that it's too much of a challenge to our system of federalism to have these jurisdictions, which were first sort of singled out in the 1960s and 70s, continue to be under this special oversight. They left in place a part of the law that says you can have a targeted inclusion of a jurisdiction, sometimes called bail-in, that on a judicial finding, this particular jurisdiction could be subject to federal oversight for particular kinds of voting law changes. But even then, this Texas court said, following some other courts, it's an extraordinary remedy. You have to have really a lot of evidence that this jurisdiction is likely to continue to engage in discriminatory behavior.
And that's Columbia Law School professor Richard Berfault speaking to Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures up 9 points this morning, Dow futures up 77, and Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.